With the renewal of U.S.-Cuban relations and improved economic ties, a new housing boom is underway in Havana. Handmade for sale signs hang outside many old colonial homes as new condo complexes are under construction in sight of decaying older buildings. For now, the U.S. embargo makes it illegal for Americans to buy real estate in Cuba. But prices are rising in anticipation of a massive future spike in housing values and plenty of under-the-table sales to foreigners. While a modest $55,000 house may be a steal in South Florida, it is still out of reach for most Cubans. Speculation has already taken hold with million-dollar listings for a four-bedroom penthouse in Havana. Sandra Arias, a foreign language professor, has gone into the real estate business seeking out foreign buyers, mostly Canadians, the French, and Russians. The thawing of U.S.-Cuban relations has generated excitement among realtors and new opportunities for families who often live in cramped living conditions. An enormous coal-fired power plant carved out of a virgin forest sits 300 miles south of New Delhi. It's a sign of India's economic ambitions to catch up with Chinese industrialization requiring cheap electricity. The Sasan power plant, with financing from the U.S. Export-Import Bank, has triggered various land disputes and displaced villagers who are facing new economic hardship. According to the Los Angeles Times, India wants to bring electricity to 300 million people by exploiting locally available coal supplies. By boosting its use of dirty coal, the Indian government is ignoring global demands to reduce the nation's greenhouse emissions. In a village near the Sasan plant, a mountain of mining waste now surrounds brick and mud huts. In 2014, India's Ministry of Environment and Forests ruled the plant's mining waste was illegally being dumped in forests, and the project's developer, Reliance Power, failed to restore lost green space. Reliance Power promised benefits to local communities, including cheap electricity, new housing, and schools. Yet most of these promises have been broken. Farmer Ramji Besor lives next to the Sasan plant, where coal dust now covers his crops and has gotten into his irrigation water supply. He was offered $26,000 to leave his land, but rejected it since the money didn't cover the cost of buying a new farm as land prices soared while the power plant was being built. On October 13th, the 3rd District Court of Appeals reinstated a federal lawsuit by Muslim residents of New Jersey against the New York City Police Department for broad surveillance of Muslim communities, including mosques and businesses. An investigation by the Associated Press uncovered a decade-long surveillance program run by the NYPD against Muslim communities in New York and New Jersey. The squad in charge of the sweeps, known as the Demographics Unit, was disbanded by New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio in 2014. The appeals court ruling overturned a decision by Federal District Court Judge William Martini, who dismissed the case, claiming that the Muslim plaintiffs hadn't suffered any harm. In contrast, the appeals court compared the NYPD intelligence gathering operation to the Red Scare of the 1940s and 50s. Judge Thomas Ambrose wrote, "We have been down this road before. Jewish Americans during the Red Scare, African Americans during the Civil Rights Movement, and Japanese Americans during World War II. Bahar Azmi, legal director of the Center for Constitutional Rights, declared, "This case of religious profiling is the other side of the stop-and-frisk coin. There is no Muslim exception to the Constitution." Glenn Caton, legal director of Muslim Advocates, which was a co-counsel in the case, said the group looked forward to pursuing the lawsuit to ensure that no American should be spied on simply because of the way he or she prays. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Elaine Osowski.